Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
We're going to see, first of all, sloth is laziness. Now you ask, is sloth a sin? Is it really a deadly sin? Well, I want us to think, first of all, what comes to mind when we think of sloth. But then I want us to think a little deeper of the attitude behind sloth. And of course, finally then, the spiritual solution.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Do you ever want to stay in bed all day? Or maybe you procrastinate and wait until the very last minute to do things. There's certainly nothing wrong with a day off or taking it easy, but laziness is sinful and can spiral into a life without purpose and hope. To continue our series on the seven deadly sins and explain more, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's message.
Last time we began looking at the subject of sloth, which is one of the seven deadly sins. To date, we've considered the sins of pride, envy, anger, and now sloth. We discussed that God expects us to work. In the Garden of Eden, before the fall, Adam worked in the garden. So work is honorable. Work is good. I'm glad that I worked as a boy and a young man. In that way, I learned the value of hard work and the value of money, and also learned respect for authority. During COVID, people's attitudes changed. Some seemed to think it perfectly appropriate to sit at home, to do nothing, and live off their parents or the government. But we will see today that sloth is more than laziness. Let's dig a little deeper as we consider this deadly sin of sloth.
We're going to read, first of all, in the New Testament. So open your Bibles, please, to 2 Thessalonians, written by the Apostle Paul, and we're reading from chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 6. Here is the word of God. Paul writes, "We command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness." There it is. People who are walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Paul is saying, myself and the fellow apostles, we were not lazy, we worked when we were with you, you know that. It was not because we do not have that right as apostles, they had that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. That is an example of hard work. Verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command." Here it is. "If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy buddies." Met people like that? They are busy in other people's business, but they're not busy at work. Verse 12, "Now such people we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother." A clear exhortation to work hard. We're going to see, first of all, sloth is laziness. Laziness. God wants us not to be lazy, but to be vibrant and to serve the Lord. So first of all, sloth is laziness. But sloth, secondly, is more than physical laziness. I want you to understand this. See, at the heart of the deadly sin of sloth is a life without purpose. Sloth is not merely someone who doesn't work or who's idle. The problem is deeper. The slothful person cares for nothing, enjoys nothing, lives for nothing, finds purpose in nothing. I'm talking about the extreme. Asked about spiritual apathy, the person says, "I don't know and I don't care." Some of you will remember the Beatles, who had a wonderful song called Nowhere Man. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me, Mr. Nowhere Man? Mr. Sloth is a bit of a nowhere man. The slothful person may turn up for work, but has an attitude of, I couldn't care less. Her favorite word is, whatever. Can't be bothered with anything. Doesn't want to do anything. Doesn't enjoy anything. Doesn't seem to believe in anything. An individual in life with no purpose. Sloth, then, is an attitude to life which produces a listlessness, a lethargy, a complacency, a lack of motivation, a dejection, an indifference, an apathy. What's the point of it all? What's life all about? The slothful person finds no joy or pleasure in anything. In extreme case, this individual has given up in life. How is it? Particularly with a younger generation, we have more and more depressed, anxious young people. How sad. Carl Jung said, the central neurosis of our time is emptiness. See, behind Mr. Sloth is an empty life. Sloth is a spiritual dejection where we don't pursue God. In that sense, sloth is the very opposite of what God wants for us. What does God want for us? He wants us to pursue God. He wants us to love God with all of our heart. He wants us to pursue Him passionately and to work enthusiastically. But the basic problem of sloth is this emptiness, this alienation. I want to tell you that God created you not for sloth, not to live a purposeless life. God created you, you and me, every single one of us. And this is wonderful. The God who created us for a purpose. Isn't that good news? You're created for a purpose. God, in His infinite wisdom, made us in His image. I am made in the image of God. And being made in the image of God means there's a correspondence. There's an affinity between God and me. Yes, sin has come in, that is true. But you are a spiritual being. You're created by God to know God, to commune with God. You're created to glorify God. And without a living and a growing relationship with God, your life, to a greater or lesser extent, will be empty, will be futile. And if you're hardworking, even if you achieve your goals, at the end of it, you think, but what's the point of it? A life without purpose. When I was a teenager, I came across this wonderful, famous quote. I didn't know it was famous at the time, by Aquinas in his confession. He begins his confession in this way and had a great impact on me. Thou hast created us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Think of it. God has created us for Himself, to glorify Him, to be with Him, to love Him. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee. And so when our Savior comes in that beautiful invitation, He says, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Rest for your soul. And so in the teaching of Jesus, He told us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. To hunger and thirst after God Himself, who is inexhaustible. He's the infinite God. And He gives us that love and that joy and that peace in knowing Him, which is incomparable. You will never, ever, ever be bored with God. Yes, you can be bored with the latest technology and satiated with it. You and I will never be bored with God. He is the inexhaustible one. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God. Notice the personal relationship. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. I think this is wonderful. That our Creator, who is all wise, all loving, and all good, we were singing about the goodness of God, He made us for a purpose. I want you to think about that. This is so key to life. And when you fulfill the purpose that God has for your life, when you're walking in the path that God has for you, not your own path, not your own selfish path, but when we're fulfilling God's purposes for our life, we will experience not sloth, not emptiness, but His pleasure and His joy. Yes, in the most difficult circumstances of life, that relationship with God will be vibrant, will be living. This is the living God who pours His love and His peace and His rest into our souls. Furthermore, God has put us on this earth. We have a hymn in our hymn book which says, "This is my Father's world." Many fathers here, you create a home, you provide things for your family. That is their world, as it were. We have a perfect Father, an all-loving Father, an all-powerful Father who has created for us this world. I understand it's a fallen world. I understand sin is here and has distorted that world, but it's still a beautiful world. This is my Father's world. This world is created for my enjoyment, created by my Father. God is my Father. I am His child. And meantime, I'm living in this world. And I want you to enjoy the world, not worldliness, but the world which your Father has provided. One of the problems with the slothful person, he or she is too lazy to look up and to look around. There's a self-absorption. And don't allow the problems of this world to rob you of peace and joy. I challenge you, some of you need this challenge, to enjoy the beauty of our Father's world. Never lose the wonder of God's creation. When I was in Scotland with my son Ian. Ian, are you listening? Thank you. We're away up in the Highlands of Scotland, and we're out for a walk. And away high up, I don't know how high it was a little bird singing. Its little wings beating rapidly, staying in the same spot. And it was either a lark or a nightingale. I couldn't say, it was so high. And I said to Ian, look at that, listen to it. Here is this magnificent little bird, really in the middle of nowhere, way up in the Scottish Highlands, and is singing a beautiful song. The lark or the nightingale have the sweetest songs way, way up. And you think, who is it singing to? Doesn't know we're here. Part of our Father's world, the wonder of hearing a bird sing, all of the variety of the birds and being aware of what's going on in our Father's world. The scripture says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. That we, as followers of Christ, the devil always wants you to look in and wants to isolate you, put you in a little basement, put you in your tiny little meaningless world. And no, God wants us to look up. We sang, how great thou art, of the stars, of the mountains, of the meadows, of the beauty of creation. that God has made for us, and that we understand that this is created by my Father. This is created by our God, a good God. I'm to know God, and I'm to fulfill God's purposes for my life. No, God didn't create you to live a life of ultimate meaningless boredom and sloth and futility, living in your small, meaningless world. Not at all. Life is not found in living independently of God. You think you can do that? You think you can say, well, I don't care about God. Maybe there's a God, maybe there's not. Who cares? I'm going to live my own little life. What a life of meaninglessness. What a small, petty, trivial world. You're created by God. You're made for better things. That you're made to correspond and to worship to God, to know God. And life is found in knowing God, in surrendering to God, in seeking and pursuing God with all of our heart. That's why we worship God here when we come. That's why we sing. That's why we lift up our voices to remind ourselves that God is great and greatly to be praised. And that God so loved the world. Yes, the world of humanity. That God, in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our slothfulness and our spiritual lethargy and our independence and our utter rebellion against God, God's done a very gracious thing. A grace which is greater than our sin, as we heard. That God so loved us that he sent his only Son into this world. And he comes. And he lives the sinless life, the only sinless life. And he comes as the Lamb of God to bear the sin of the world, to take away our sin. And he does that through dying on the cross, bearing our sin, going into death, conquering darkness, conquering the devil, destroying the works of the devil, rising from the dead, and says, now, if you call on me, I'll save you. I'll forgive all of your sins. I'll do more than that. Through my Spirit, I will in fact indwell you. You will be transformed as sons and daughters of God. And so the Christian life at its heart has this personal and living relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who made us. Yes, like Adam, we turn to our own way, but God, who's rich in mercy, sends his Son on this mission, this rescue mission, to rescue us from our selfishness, to rescue us from our emptiness and our rebellion. So that he promises, if you come to me, I will not cast you out. I'll save you and I'll redeem you. And we begin this wonderful adventure of following Jesus Christ. Yes, sloth is a deadly sin. George Bernard Shaw said that an epitaph for many people should read, died at 30, buried at 60. Is that how you want to live? A life of emptiness? We are to live and worship God passionately. We're to work enthusiastically. All of life is to be lived for the glory of God. We are to work hard. No, we can never, ever work for our salvation. God, in his grace, has done all of the work through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his redemptive work on the cross, through his resurrection, through his ascension, through his being seated at the right hand of God as the wonderful Christ, the magnificent Christ, who calls on you to bow before him, to turn from your sin, and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I came that they may have life and they may have it abundantly. The devil will tell you that the greatest life is rebelling against God. That's utter foolishness. Life, full life, abundant life, is found in dying to self and living to Christ, who gives us life abundantly. So today I ask you to turn from your sin, whether it's sloth or any other sin, and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your purpose in life, your salvation is found in this living relationship with Jesus, who still says, if you drink of the water that I will give you, do you hear him? You will never thirst again. No emptiness in Christ. He will give you this fountain of water springing up into life eternal, an abundant life, a life lived to the glory of God. There is no better life. I can testify of that. If you come to Christ, he will never disappoint you. Today, I'm asking you to drink of that living water of Christ himself. Drink of that living water, and you will never, ever thirst again. You know, I call our radio program Verdict, and someone was interviewing me this week on a talk show on the radio, and they said, why do you call it Verdict? I said, well, part of it is because of my legal past, but more importantly, God's word calls for a verdict, calls for a decision. I'm asking you, if you've never done it, to repent of your sin and trust Christ. I'm asking you, if there's sloth in your life, whether it's physical laziness or spiritual laziness, whatever it is, to repent of that and to drink afresh of that living water. Will you pray with me? Eternal God and our Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the perfect work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that there is offered to each of us salvation. We confess our spiritual laziness. I think of those who have delayed coming to Christ, putting it off, procrastinating. May they understand that today is the day of salvation. And today, if they hear your voice, that they will not harden their hearts. May many be making that decision to follow Christ, to die to self, to take up their cross and follow Christ. We ask in his name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and a message from our study on the seven deadly sins, this time on sloth. Part two of our message is coming up next time. But before then, we hope you'll take a moment to request your copy of the special new booklet from John called Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters. This helpful resource goes along with our current series and is meant to help give you a clear understanding of sin. It's not a concept we hear much about, but we need to understand it so we can understand the good news of Jesus Christ and why we need help to overcome sin in our lives. So don't wait. Download or request your copy of the book, Deadly, Why Sin Still Matters, today by going to our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, sign up for John's monthly email newsletter and be the first to know about upcoming series and events. Go to theverdict.org. And while you're online, you'll also have the chance to take a new step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting the work of this radio ministry. You can join our efforts to share God's word by sending a financial gift of any amount. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. And then be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast. You'll be able to access all of these daily lessons, along with John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum, where he addresses relevant topics from a biblical perspective. Just open your podcast app and subscribe to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Is there any slothfulness in your life? Today we saw that sloth is more than physical laziness. It can be I couldn't care less attitude, whatever, or so what mindset. But that's not how God created you. God created you for a purpose. So don't drift through life. Know God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has a purpose for your life. And as you fulfill that purpose, you will glorify God and bless others. Don't miss the broadcast next time as we think of the deadly sin of gluttony.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.